the container of sesshin holds us strongly, firmly, gently, beautifully. It helps us see ourselves, the container of sesshin reveals and discloses our lack of faith in practice. It's so kind to us, this container that we constructed with our human bodies and minds. The light was transmitted from the Buddha down through Dongshan, who taught the non-sentient being Dharma, and passed down to Yunju Daoying, whose story we began talking about yesterday. For those just arriving, the 39th ancestor was Great Master Yunju Hung Jiao, Cloud Dweller. He studied with Dongshan. Dongshan asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "Dao Ying," one of his other names. The way sustained Dao Ying. What is your name? The way is sustained. Dongshan said, "Say it from beyond." And Yunju said, "If I speak from beyond, I cannot say I am Daoying." Dongshan said, "That's the same answer I gave when I was with Yunyan, my teacher." "Shuso, what's your name?"
"Shuso."
"Say it from beyond." "Ino-san, what's your name?" "Say it from beyond." "What's your name?" "Say it from here." Now, we heard some stories about Yunju And after telling some stories about this ancestor, Keizan says, after Yunju met Sui Wei, one teacher that he practiced with for a while, then he studied with Dongshan, and he was the elder Dharma brother of Cao Shan. Cao Shan is the Japanese Sozan is the So of Soto, named after, he named himself, as I understand it, after Cao Chi, the six ancestors' place. So Soto, we could hear it as the union of the Dharma of the six ancestor and Dongshan, or the union of the Dharma of Dongshan and Saoshan. But Saoshan's lineage died out quite quickly. Yeah. But Yunju's continued. Through the above questions and answers, the doubts of master and disciple were completely settled. Dongshan predicted, thanks to you, my Dharma will continue endlessly into the future. His words were not meaningless, for his Dharma has been passed on generation after generation down to today. Truly the waters of Mount Dung have flowed onward and continue to bubble and sparkle today, passed on in a school that has preserved the purity of Dongshan's teaching. Its source has not dried up even now, and it remains cool and clear. And then Keizan basically just repeats all the stories he already told from the life of Yunju. And he says, when Yunju entered the ancestor's room as the foremost disciple for the transmission and received the Dharma intact, Dongshan made a point of asking him, what's your name? In a meeting between master and disciple, you don't proceed on the basis of former circumstances. So Dongshan asked him, what is your name? You must realize that Dongshan knew the master's name, of course, but he had a reason for asking like this. In a meeting between the teacher and student, don't proceed on the basis of former circumstances. Such a meeting must always be fresh and not based on the past. We might say the most basic presumption is what someone's name is. That's the first thing we hear about them. Oh, welcome to the Zen Center. What's your name? We might not know anything about someone, but at least we know their name. So this very basic presupposition in this true meeting, master and disciple, you don't proceed on the basis of former circumstances. I've heard your name many times before, but right now, how is it actually? Right now, who are you? Let's meet as if we've never met. Let's meet as if we have no idea who we are. Yunju answered Dao Ying. Even if asked over and over in countless ways, it would still have to be Dao Ying. He made no excuses or rationalizations. Well, my name's Dao Ying, you know, because that's like one of the names my teacher gave me, and I hope it's okay with you if that's my name, and you know, sorry if you don't like it. And so he made no excuses. My name is Dao Ying. Period. Even though Dongshan did not deny such a notion, still, in order to get him to say whether or not he had the capacity to pass through barriers and escape limitations, he asked, "Say it from beyond." Yunju already lacked the 6 senses and 7 forms of consciousness. That's quite something. How did he manage to put on his socks and tie his shoes in the morning? Yunju already lacked the 6 senses and 7 forms of consciousness. Well, it kind of sounds like he was already one of those so-called non-sentient beings. That teach the Dharma to other non-sentient beings. You've probably heard about the 7 forms of consciousness. It's kind of interesting that usually we hear either about the 6 consciousnesses or the 8 consciousnesses. Rarely do we hear the 7 consciousnesses. But if we go with the Yogacara tradition, you know, the 7th consciousness is this manas that is like the bifurcator, the splitting consciousness that conveniently provides the sense of self and other. It gets its own number on the list. And then the 8th consciousness is the storehouse, the alaya, vijnana. So maybe Yunju didn't lack that alaya vijnana. He only lacked 7 consciousnesses. And as you may have heard in the Lankavatara Sutra, that the true nature of this storehouse consciousness is Tathagata Garbha, or Buddha nature, or the light, a non-sentient being. So maybe that's why Kazan bothered to say he just lacked these 7 consciousnesses. He was like someone whose face was missing, or like a straw dog. I thought, really? I looked at other translations. They all say straw dog. He was like a straw dog. A straw dog. So he said, if I say it from beyond, then I cannot say I am Dao Ying. It's extremely difficult to reach this realm. You think so? Just to be able to say so simply and straightforwardly, if I say it from beyond, then I can't say I'm Dao Ying. Kazan says it's extremely difficult to reach this realm. If a student has not reached this realm, he lacks the power to proceed. He will still be confused by false views. Because because Yunju guarded this realm carefully, the two of them had this dialogue about the person utterly lacking Buddha nature, the Icchantika. We heard about this dialogue yesterday. There was no violation of Dungshan's teaching. If you monks become fully aware in awakening, you will be true Patro monks who have completely resolved the one great matter. So, there's monks, and then there's the fully aware, gone beyond, that are called Patro monks in the Zen tradition. So, going beyond Kojo, colloquially in Chinese and Japanese, means something like just proceeding or ascending. But in the Zen tradition, it becomes kind of like a Zen technical term, as often happens, meaning going beyond or transcending our usual ideas and beliefs in who we think we are and who the world is. So Dogen Zenji has a fast go called Going Beyond Buddha. Bu or Butsu Kojo Ji. Ji is like the matter. The matter of going beyond Buddha. And many stories using this phrase, going beyond. Basically, going beyond Buddha is one of Dogen's definitions of Buddha. What is Buddha? Buddha is going beyond Buddha, going beyond our ideas and beliefs in Buddha. If we happen to realize a Buddha, then we must go beyond that Buddha to have it really be actualizing Buddha. In other words, there's no fixed static place to arrive at, is continuously letting go of the current version of Buddha or the current version of sentient being. Continuously going beyond, dropping off the present. Going beyond even here and now, which are limited time and place, to beyond here and now. So, of course, Dogen quotes this same story. Dongshan said, "What's your name?" Yunju said, "Dao Ying." Dongshan said, "Say it from beyond." Yunju said, "When I say it from beyond, I'm not called Dao Ying." Dongshan said, "When I was with Yunyan, we spoke just like this." And Dogen says, "You should examine in detail the words between this master and disciple. When I say it from beyond, I am not called Dao Ying, is Dao Ying's going beyond." Or, you know, to read it in quotes, quote, "When I say something beyond, I am not called Dao Ying," unquote, is Dao Ying's going beyond. You should understand that in addition to usual Dao Ying, there is someone beyond who is not called Daoyin. From the moment, quote, when I say something beyond and not called Daoyin, unquote, is actualized, he is truly Daoyin. From the moment when I say something beyond I'm not called Daoyin is actualized, he is truly Daoyin. It has to be said from beyond to be actualized. And then, ironically, right? He's truly Daoyin. When going beyond Daoyin, he is truly Daoyin. However, you should not say that he is Daoyin when he is going beyond. So the previous sentence was, from the moment when I say something beyond, I'm not called Daoyin, is actualized, he is truly Daoyin. He is truly Daoyin. However, you should not say that he is Daoyin when he's going beyond. He is truly Daoyin. Please don't say so. When he was asked by Dungshan, say something beyond that, even if he had replied, when I say something beyond, I am called Daoyin, it would still be the words of going beyond. Did you catch that one? So even if he had said, if I say it from beyond, I am actually still Daoyin, that would still be the words of going beyond, according to Dogen. Why is it so? That's why you could knock on wood or gusho, and it could be going beyond. It doesn't have a fixed answer, but it must be going beyond. If he had said, I'm still called Daoyin, it would still be the words of going beyond. Why is it so? Daoyin immediately leaps into the top of the head and hides his own body. Since he hides his own body, his form is revealed. In order to have his saying that I'm called Daoyin be a statement gone beyond, he has to actually leap into the top of the head and hide his own body, leap into the Buddha's top knot, and have his body be completely unified with the form of the Buddha's top knot. Hiding his own body, his form is revealed. So Dungshan liked to ask this question to various people. So and maybe we could say his other main disciple, Saoshan, I don't know offhand, Yunju and Saoshan are the only students of Dungshan that I know of, but I know there were many more. But those two, Saoshan is particularly known for, even though his lineage died out, he had some great fun with Dungshan, playing with these five positions of relative and ultimate. Together they wrote lots of poems and brought out that these five ranks, these five positions of Sao, Dong, Zen. So some other time, when Zen Master Benji of Shaoshan was studying with Reverend Ancestor Dongshan, Dongshan said, "What is your name?" Shaoshan said, "Benji," one of his names. Dongshan said, "Say it from beyond." Shaoshan said, "I will not say." Dongshan asked again, "Why will you not say?" Shaoshan said, "No name, Benji." Dongshan approved. We have some other stories, right? Of, "I will not say." "Why won't you say?" And sometimes the answer is, "I won't say." In this case, he says, "No name, Benji." It's not that there's nothing to say in going beyond, but here there is no saying. Why did he not say? Because of no name, Benji. Therefore, saying in going beyond is no saying. No saying in going beyond is no name. Benji of no name is saying going beyond. Because of this, he is Benji no name. Thus, there is no Benji. No name drops away. Benji drops away. Classic Dogen. Helping us to let go of all our figurings of this matter of going beyond. Particularly going beyond who we think we are. This is about personal identity. What's your name? Who are you? Going beyond. This is the essential matter. To study the Buddha way is to study this self. To study this self is to forget this self. To forget this self is going beyond. Becoming a non-sentient Ichantika. Benefiting all beings like an idiot. It's not much recorded about Yunju, this ancestor, but here's some nice Sashin admonitions. One day, Yunju went up into the hall and quoted Dongshan's old saying that goes, his teacher's saying, right? Says, "Hell is not really that painful, but wearing this robe and failing to understand the great matter, that is most painful." Then Master Yunju said to the assembly, "You are already within this tradition. You're already, you made it this far. That's huge. You have the rare good fortune to already be a Zen practitioner. 100% is not far from 90%. You should exert a little more energy. Then you elders will not tire of your perpetual journey around and around, and yet will not turn away from the monastery. An ancient said, if you wish to be able to bear this matter, you must go stand atop the highest mountain and walk on the bottom of the deepest sea. Only then you have some power. The other 10% is that last ascent to the peak and that last step into the dark, muddy ocean bottom. If you have not yet taken care of the great matter, for now you must tread the hidden road. Kizan concludes, what can I say today so that you will fully understand this story? After a pause, he said, never has it been bound to names and forms. How can you speak of it as beyond or imminent? And in the Chinese, it's kind of nice here, this beyond, or this says relative, but you could say imminent. So there's that one character that means like proceed or advance, the ko, move along, maybe we could say. You know, echo, well, dedications of merit, in Japanese are called echo. Echo means to, e is like to turn, and it's the same ko, the ko of like, kind of to send along. So we generate all this positive energy by chanting, and then we like turn it around and send it to the Buddhas and ancestors or to, sick beings or to deceased. Turning and sending along. So this kind of sending along, and then the jo is this character that's like, it's like a flat thing with an upright going, you know, upward, beyond, and then a little cross piece. And then, so it's kind of like sending upward, and then going, and that's translated as going beyond. And then this word imminent or relative is the same ko, moving along, but then it's got the line and downward. So it's like the reverse of that other, the character that's upward, it's like flipping it over, going down with a little tab off. And so we could, you know, it's hard to translate that to get that kind of play here, but never has it been bound to names and forms. How can you speak of it as kind of like moving upward beyond or moving downward into this, which is translated as like imminent, relative, you know, tangibly grounded here, something like that. How can you speak of it as like going beyond or maybe not going beyond, just descent onto the earth? Yes.
Two words come to mind. One is emergent, which might be expressive of going beyond. Mm. The other is convergent. Mm. Which could be coming
first. Yeah. And then we have divergent, which is like convergent often manifests as the divergent. We have the, or maybe we could say that convergent is like the ground, and that either like gets split into the divergent duality or ascends to the emergent, goes beyond itself, and emerges beyond itself, or diverges from itself. Yeah, so something like that. Any questions about ancestor Yunju and or going beyond? In that case, in this case, the 40th ancestor was Zen Master Dung An Dao Pi. What do we say? Do An Do Yi Dao Sho. Dung An means uniform peace. And Dao Pi is the way is enormous. Once Yunju said to the assembly, including Dung An, if you want to realize or acquire such a thing, you must be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Hearing this, Dung An was awakened. If you want to realize such a thing, you must be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Or why be anxious about such a thing? Yes?
So, he was essentially awakened by a compliment.
Could say that. And, since you bring that up, could it be the case that everyone who awakens is awakened by a compliment? One of the qualities of awakening is even if some really nasty words come to you, at the time of awakening to them, it's received as a great compliment.
Next question.
Yes.
How are you spelling compliment?
With an I.
With an I or an E?
An I, right? As opposed to complement, like subsidiary, going along with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He heard it as a you meant like as kind of like a sort of praise or a compliment is maybe like acceptance, positive. Maybe that's the nature of what we call a compliment with an I, is saying something where somebody feels fully accepted. So that's what I mean by, like, is awakening always received as a compliment? No one knows where Dung An was from. So, it's a very sad case that Kazan can't mention all his family names and towns where he lived. He practiced with Yunju and spent years as his attendant, his Jisha. Once Yunju entered the hall and said, so this is the kind of like longer version of the story of which this case is the culmination. It was like a little Dharma talk. And actually there's some little dot, dot, dot places in here where Keizan doesn't even quote the whole talk. But basically, the talk was like, again, maybe a little bit admonishing. Maybe people started to hear this not so much as a compliment until the very end. It's kind of interesting in this story that Yunju said, when monks vomit out words, they should have a reason and not speak negligently. Just a way of, especially in Sesshin, you know, any words you say are kind of like vomit, at least in Sesshin. Excuse me. when monks vomit out words, they should have a reason and not speak negligently. What do you think this abode is? Anyway, how can it be easy? Or how can you take it easy? Whenever you're asked about this matter, you must be sufficiently aware of right and wrong. This one great matter, like, don't neglect the conventional. The workings of cause and effect are all subtly included in this great matter. The primary thing is, what do you think the primary thing is? What's the primary practice right now?
To receive compliments.
To receive compliments. That's one. And after we receive the compliments, the primary thing is, do not cling. The primary thing is, do not cling, do not grasp. This is one of the many definitions of Buddha's awakening. If you cling, that's not it. If you are a person who thoroughly knows of its existence, you will naturally know how to guard and preserve it. In the end, you will not spread it around, but only speak once out of every 10 times you're asked. Like, we don't go up to people on the street and like, hey, you want to know the Buddha's true Dharma? Take a seat right here. Well, I'm actually kind of like busy now. No, let me tell you. Even when asked, please tell me, what is the great meaning of the Buddha Dharma? Some ancestors just like would turn around and face the wall. Or they'd shut the door. In the end, if you really know this, you'll not spread it around, but only speak once out of every 10 times you're asked. Why? Probably it would not do any good to speak. But often it just has no benefit to speak. The thoroughly accomplished person is one whose mind is like a fan in winter, and mold grows on his lips. Or another translation says, cobwebs grow on her lips. So, mind like a fan in winter. Basically, it's just sitting on the shelf, right? Because it's cool enough already. Mind like a fan in winter. Mold or cobwebs growing on the lips because they haven't moved for so long. They're just, you know, growing mold and cobwebs. This is not an effort on one's part to not open one's lips. It's natural. If you want to acquire such a thing, you must be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? You might, I don't know, do you feel like when you're here, you must guard this matter, speak on it one time out of 10, and let the mind be like a fan in winter with mold growing on the lips? Do you feel like you're not such a person? I can imagine that the assembly at that time thought, I feel so inspired, and I'm a blabbermouth, so I really like to be more that way, but it's so hard because there's so many things to say. Yeah. But I aspire to someday grow mold on my lips. And if you want to acquire such a thing, then you must be, one translation even says, you must become such a person. Yes, yes, I will. Since you are such a person. Huh? What are you talking about? I'm a blabbermouth. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Hearing it said like this, that such a matter is hard to acquire, Dungan understood. Finally, he took care of the great matter of his life. Later, he lived in Dung'an Monastery on Mount Fengxi in Hongzhou. So, we don't know where he was from, but we know where he went. This was Zen Master Gao Pi. He expounded Yunju's tradition extensively. Once a student asked him, how can I stop mistaking my reflection for my head? Dung'an asked him, who are you talking to? The monk asked, what's the right thing to do? And Yunju said, if you seek from someone else, you'll get farther and farther away from it. Which is in part of Dungshan's enlightenment poem too. The monk asked, what about when I don't seek it from someone else? Yunju said, where is your head? The monk asked, what's your family style? It could almost sound like a conversation of like non sequiturs. Like, are these really, is this the same conversation? But that's how they sometimes would talk back and forth. You see, this, the understanding shifts and a new question arises. Keep going beyond. So just to go through that part again. Once a student asked Dung'an, how can I stop mistaking my reflection for my head? All these reflections that we think are who we really are. And he's looking at the teacher Dung An. My reflection is this one I see before me. How can I stop mistaking my reflection for my head? I get all confused, like, is who I am. I get distracted by others, all these reflections, and lose my true self. How can I stop mistaking my reflection for my true head? Dung An asked him, who are you talking to? That's a great question that we can ask ourselves in any conversation, when we're having a conversation, and we start to get confused and distracted by the so-called other. We can silently ask ourselves, who are you talking to anyway? Is that person who we think they are, or not? Who are you talking to when you're talking to some body over there? The monk said, what's the right thing to do? And Dung An said, if you seek from someone else, you'll get farther and farther away from it. So kind of like, who are you talking to? Instead of like, I get it. Never mind, conversation's over. This is mine. Instead he said, he didn't pick up on it. Who are you talking to? Didn't send him back to the source. So then he asks again, what's the right thing to do? You over there, will you tell me? And Dung San said, if you seek from someone else, like me, you'll get farther and farther away from it. The monk asked, what about when I don't seek from someone else? Okay, let's try not going outside. Dung An said, where is your head now? The monk wants a little bit more. There he says, what is your family style? How would you express the heart of your dharma? And Dung An says, well, if you want some more words, here goes. He says, the golden hen embracing its young returns to the Milky Way. The jade rabbit pregnant enters the purple sky. It's my family style. And the commentaries say, in poetic terms, that the golden fowl, the golden hen, refers to the sun going across the sky, and the jade rabbit refers to the moon. So the golden hen, the sun, great sun in the sky, embracing its young, all the beings that it radiates upon, returns to the Milky Way, or the vast space where it lives. And the jade rabbit, the moon, pregnant, full round moon, enters the purple dusk, purple sky. Like the Shuso said last night, the quiet grove garden is sitting sesshin with us, each leaf in its place, sitting with us, each little sound on the street, sitting with us. The golden hen, sun, embracing its young, all beings returns to the Milky Way at the end of the day, and the jade rabbit moon pregnant enters the purple sky of dusk, rising as the sun sets. The monk was like, okay. And then asked, when you receive an unexpected guest, how do you welcome him? And Dolan said, a monkey plucks the a monkey plucks the golden fruit early in the morning. A phoenix brings jade flowers at night. So there's this realm where the sun rises and sets. Everything is embraced therein. The moon rises mysteriously in the purple dusk of evening. That's my family style. What else, you know, is there to say about anything to be done in such a case? Well, what about when it's kind of like the vast host position, but what about when you receive an unexpected guest? How do you welcome him? Yeah. How do you deal with others in this realm of celestial movements? And Dungan said, a monkey plucks the golden fruit early in the morning. A phoenix brings the jade flowers at night, carries in its beak the jade flowers at night. So a monkey can pick the golden fruit of the golden hen and offer to a guest. A phoenix can bring a jade flower from the jade rabbit's abode and offer some flowers along with fruit to a guest from this vast realm. Plucking a piece of that vast realm and offering it to one who comes. This translation actually says, a phoenix munches the jade flowers at night. Sounds crunchy, huh? But it looks like it's really more like it carries in its beak, to offer the jade flowers to others. And then after the others have some, it can munch some too. Having been able to know the true realm through what his former teacher had said, when he expressed the style of tradition, he said, Kazan just repeats now, the golden hen returns to the Milky Way, the jade rabbit enters the sky, and when he was welcoming people, he said, golden fruit is picked daily, jade flowers are brought every night. Kazan says, although there is neither superiority nor inferiority in the stories of Zen practice, you should study this story carefully. The story about you must be such a person, since you are such a person. Why worry? He says this in just a few stories ago, right? He said, although there's neither superiority nor inferiority in these ancestors and stories, check out this one. So maybe he does actually have some, Kazan maybe feels like some of these stories are particularly central to understanding our practice. You should study this story carefully. The reason is, if you want to acquire such a thing, you must be such a person. Even though you mistakenly look for your own head, this looking itself is your head. And I was asking about is turning the light around, shining back on the source, is that a dualistic practice? And I said something like, in talking about it, it sounds like there's an awareness looking back at the source of awareness, which is kind of dualistic, but then as the actual, it's because the words are clunky that it sounds like two different parts of mind. But then in actually resting in the nature of mind, there's no separation at all. So similar to if you mistakenly look for your own head, this looking itself is your head. So that'll be another way to practice with that, the instruction of turning the light around would be like, we're doing a kind of exercise that because it's an exercise, it's a little bit dualistic, but then to see that the actual exercise is not separate from the source of mind, that it's like, that it's kind of aiming towards. Zen has a lot of stories like this, riding a donkey and looking for your donkey. Where's my hat? It's on your head. I think we have to do this though. We have to look for who we are. In a kind of divided way, in order to focus intently enough to then see that the that there's nothing to see. Yes, Nene.
This, I don't know if this is going to sound tangential, but it makes sense to me. If it's connected to me.
Divergent.
There's this image that when I'm really enmeshed, sometimes comes to me that's really helpful, which is a doctor that we used to see that was a naturopathic doctor had this sculpture, metal sculpture of a cage. It was a lot like a bird cage. And a metal person grasping the bars and peering out, and there's an open door in the cage. And I see that, like, how it's helpful is that it helps me, doesn't help me get out, it helps me be in there. I mean, it helps me see myself holding on to the bars. Like, oh. And then, I don't know, there's just this freedom in that, seeing that. I don't, like, have to do anything else.
Rita Sheen is kind of like that.
Yes.
You know, we're like, we're trapped in this jailhouse room, and with bars on the windows, and meanwhile, like, the door is vast and open, and but it's kind of, again, kind of like an exercise to kind of like work with the bars of the Zendo. In your example, like, where does the back door come into that, or does it come into that? I mean, is it maybe when you're holding onto the bars, maybe it's more, are you saying like you could turn around, oh, there is a door over there, but let me work this, the bars a little more.
It's more understanding the illusory nature of being trapped.
Mm. Yeah. So you almost like you know there's the door, but vaguely seen through the tree branches.
Mm. Just a sense of clear seeing of the moment, the situation, my engagement.
That's the door. And then what happens to the holding the bars?
They're disappearing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. There's an image of all sentient beings. Trapped in samsara, like a bee trapped in a vase, which they do, right? There's like an opening there, but they don't see it. They're just going around and around. Yes.
Dualistic thinking or process involves projection, which is naming and imputing meaning and purpose. Discriminating, all those kinds of things. Turning the mind around is not a practice of relaxing projection, naming, imputing meaning, purpose. Simply, it's not saying to be blind and deaf and all that. It's just simply being with, without anything added. I experience that kind of thing when I write a poem. I have a real sense that whatever it means to anybody is going to be found in the space between the words. And when I go to a poem I've written that way, I actually feel the space. It's new, it's fresh each time. It's not even like I wrote it. Very different from writing a description of something.
Yeah, and a lot of these Zen stories and poems and phrases have that quality. It's not very explanatory. It's not explanatory. So even though you mistakenly look for your own head, this looking itself is your head. As the founder, Ahe Dogen, said, "Who am I? I am the one who asks who." I thought, I wonder, I never heard that he said that, but Keizan lived close to his time, so he must have said that somewhere, sometime. "Who am I? I am the one who asks who." When Abbot Liang Sui visited Maku, Maku shut the door upon seeing him coming. Liang Sui knocked on the door and Maku called out, "Who is it?" Liang Sui said, "Liang Sui." Just as he called out his name, he was suddenly awakened. He said, "Don't fool me any longer, Master. If I had not come and paid my respects to you, I would have really wasted my whole life on the sutras and treatises of the canon." When he returned to lecture on the sutras, he dismissed the class and told his followers, "Whatever you know, I know. What I know, you do not." And he stopped teaching sutras. And this happened because maybe also a common Zen occurrence is somebody says, "Who is it?" And I say, "Oh, it's Kokyo." And at the very time of saying one's own name, one sees the whole situation differently. Maybe a kind of turning the light around. "I'm knocking on your door. Oh, why don't you open it? Well, who is it?" "Oh, it's me." Who are we? Who do we think we are? That's a question we can ask, a classic Zen question in Sesshin. If you get bored, if your mind gets sleepy and you want a little exercise, you can ask, who is it? Or who's dragging this corpse around? Or one that I just heard from a modern Korean teacher is, who does this? That's his modern koan. Who does this? Yes. What did you say?
I kind of went along with that. You have a point.
Yeah. Now, next time you meet that student, if you see him or her as Emily, that could be really beneficial. Especially if he hits you. Yeah, that's right. If you want to be such a person as these ancestors, or if you want to realize when they realized, you must be such a person as they. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Since you are a such person, why worry about a such thing? You must be a person of suchness. If you want to realize suchness, you must practice suchness right away. Since I've already said 9 things out of 10 instead of 1 out of 10. Better stop while the getting's good. May our intention equally extend to every being and place, that all may realize Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Illusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. I vow to become it.